set? We ready?
Yes.
Are you locked and loaded?
Yes.
Now let's take aim on this word. Amen? Because
Amen.
He's about to do something and show you something. Some of y'all remember last week we had a tent in this place. Didn't know what direction we were going, but it just seemed like we went, you know, we had to get out the tent. So now that we got out the tent, he's going to take us to a new place that you need to understand the nuts and bolts of your faith walk in God. You ready? Are you ready? All right. I want you to go, if you would, please, to Exodus 30. Exodus 30, beginning in verse 17. And when you're there, say amen. Yeah, y'all with me now. All right, Exodus chapter 30. We're going to begin reading at verse 17. Exodus 30 at verse 17. This is out of the King James, and I'll begin reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put in between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, and even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil of olive, a hin. And thou shalt make it an holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, and that it may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. You see that? Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Father, I just thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that you speak and we listen. I thank you that you encourage and we are encouraged. I thank you that when you exhort, Father, we are exhorted to do as you called us to do. But I thank you under the ordinance of the anointing oil, Father. I thank you that you've given us divine instructions, Lord, on what we are to do, to apply it, and to use what you've called us to do. Father, I just thank you for the reading of your word, and I bless it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, Amen. I want to talk to you about something that I believe the Lord has placed in my heart to share with you, the nuts and bolts of faith. And I want to begin to show you that in the scripture we read here that this is after the Israelites came out of captivity in the wilderness, from Egypt into the wilderness. In the wilderness, he gives instructions to make anointing oil for the tabernacle. He makes it holy, and he says, for generations after generations. Didn't say it was ever going to end. Well, that anointing oil was to be used to anoint all the articles in the sanctuary. that it would become holy, and anyone that was to touch it would be holy. You are sitting on the articles in the sanctuary that has been anointed with oil. Everything in this sanctuary has been touched with oil. To the point sometimes we had to come up and clean up some of the walls because we had handprints all over the walls. And you would see, we had an interior decorator came in with the oil. But the oil is used specifically to sanctify you and to set you apart, correct? In other words, not just anybody's going to get the oil during that time frame. But you just read in there where it says, touch not the anointing oil be poured over anybody. Correct? Well, if you would, I want you to go with me as we go into the scriptures a little bit, and I'll explain the rest of this in a little bit. I want you to go to 1 Samuel 16, please. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 4. We're going to read through 4 through 23 in the New Living Translation. That is 1 Samuel 16, verse 4. And it reads in this wise, "So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. 'What's wrong?' they asked. 'Do you come in peace?' 'Yes,' Samuel replied. 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice too." Verse 6 says, When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That'll preach all by itself. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, "Neither is the one that the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Well, there still is the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." Isn't that nice? I don't want to start preaching just yet. Just hold on. Just stop it, Marty. Just finish. Verse 12 says, "So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome and beautiful eyes." Why is that in the scripture? Now, wait a minute. We're just talking. Hey, send me your boy. And then I'll just right there, just that one little sentence. "He was dark, handsome, and he had beautiful eyes." Can we stay on track? God, you're acting like Marty. He gets off track a lot. Can you just? What is the importance of this? Well, I'm going to tell you in a little bit. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took his flask of olive oil, anointing oil, and he had brought it and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Do you see that? Oh. Really, you see it? Is it something different? Am I saying something different that's not here? What did he pour on him? What oil? Which is? The anointing oil. That anointing oil has now stepped out of the tabernacle and stepped onto you. You understand? Jeff, if you would, go ahead and set that down and then come step over here. Mr. David, will you just come and just stand here, David, and receive something that someone didn't think you were going to receive. Jesse, is this all the sons you have? No, there's one more. Where was he?
He's in the field.
In the field? Mm-hmm. What is he doing?
Watching the sheep and the goats.
The sheep and the what?
Goats.
Say goats.
Goats.
The goats.
Stinky goats.
You know those goats? The ones that have the horns, right?
You're the one that have the horns. They're the ones that just kind of irritate everybody. You know, that's what the horns are for. They irritate. They get on the sheep and they irritate you. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, "You're not a goat, are you?" And you should say, "Nah." Watch it. No, wait. Get on track. Get on track. Look. Now, went through seven of Jesse's sons. You went through seven sons, and God didn't choose not one, huh? Not one. But he chose the next one, which is the eighth one, which is the new beginning. And in the new beginning, he chooses the youngest one, the one that was pushed aside, the one that was always doing what he was supposed to do. And all of a sudden now, what was ordained to be inside the tabernacle only has now came out of the tabernacle and is now being used to anoint for a new position.
I'll pour it all over your head. No, I just like.
So now they pour the oil all over David. Handsome. Dark and handsome. Mira, ay, tú, mira, papi. Wait. Are you turning red? Watch this. Watch. Isn't it just like God? Yeah, it's a little hot, man. Isn't it just like God to make sure that you get all your brothers to go before you to watch what he's about to do for you? Y'all are missing that. Y'all ain't responding the way I'm preaching. Look, sometimes you got to be the last one called. Sometimes you got to be the last one that God chooses. And sometimes people got to stand. Can I have six brothers stand over here, please? Six brothers. Come on. Six brothers.
Two more.
Five.
If I told you I had money, y'all been running. Six. Okay, wait. Oh, come on. You're seven. This is Jesse. This is Daddy. All right. We got seven over here, right? So in other words, they went through that whole thing. And you know the first one had to come out. Come on up. The first one came up. Just come on. Watch this. And you know, Samuel the prophet is like, "Oh, that's got to be the one. He got his bow tie on, everything. He got everything looking good. He's ready to go. He's got his hair trimmed good. That is the next. That's the one. And then God says, "No, I rejected him." Oh. Now watch. Hey. Haven't you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
I got this, God. I've been fasting, Mira. Not me. Next one comes up. The next one. You know, Jesse's like, "Oh, I've been grooming this one. I've been teaching him how to wear his hat backwards and everything. I've been teaching him how to make sure that he don't bend that brim. It just keeps it straight." Now watch this. So, you know, by this time, Jesse said, "Oh, maybe not the first one, because I know the oldest one, usually the one that has little, you know, attitude at times. But the second one in line is probably the one, because he's the one that's kind of watched the first one make some mistakes." So, you know, Jesse's probably going through all of this in his mind thinking, this is the one. No, he ain't the one either. Man. Now, what do you think? Now, hold on. What do you think Jesse's doing now? Jesse's probably looking at the prophet like, what is wrong with you? I didn't call for you to come to my house and reject my kids. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. You ever felt like what's going on in your life is that I didn't ask for this, God? I didn't ask for you to be treating me this way and talking to me this way. Up in my house, I'm the man of this house. You know how y'all get. Don't you come up in my house and act this way, man, because I will take you out. I don't know what it is. Everybody get all crazy with their neck. Boy, the other day I did that when I was doing all that. My neck was hurting. I don't know how they do that. But now, you know, Jesse's right. Well, that's the prophet of God. I got to respect what the prophet of God is saying. This is the one right here, because I know mama really likes this one. Mama said, "I better take care of this and feed mom." Mama said, "I better feed him real good." So I've been feeding him real good. So I know he's nice, strong, ready to go. God said, "I ain't the one." That he ain't the one either. So he goes around. I'll say, "Well, well, well." But it didn't say they left. They're all still right there. Oh, here comes another one of Jesse. Like, okay, this is the one. I told him to dress up especially for you, Samuel the prophet. I told him to dress up. I even fixed his tie for him. Got him all ready. Look at it. This is the one. Sam, nope, he ain't the one. So then he probably walking, you know, I've been studying, I've been fasting, I've been praying, doing everything, and I still ain't the one chosen. Watch this. Comes the other one. Oh, I told him to go to the gym every day. He need to work out. He need to go work out, get things ready, because, you know, he's looking for someone that's big, strong, and ready to go. He knows how to handle things. Handle your business, man. Just handle it. He ain't the one. So now, daddy is probably thinking, you really a prophet? You really the prophet that God said to do this? Are you really? Whew, ain't got many more left.
Two more.
So now you think about Jesse, probably like, okay, well, maybe this one. So he brings this one up. Samuel looks. He says, okay, man, I love you, brother. I love you. He says, this one's got wisdom. He shows it all in his face. He's got wisdom. And that wisdom is definitely going to be the one that God is going to choose, because wisdom is everything in the kingdom of God, is the wisdom. Samuel looks at him. He ain't the one.
One more.
I was just about to go there, Nana. Where do you think Mama was throughout this whole thing? Someone had to hold her back because she was getting ready to tear that prophet up. Because you don't talk about my kids that way. That's my kids, and all my kids should be king. You don't know what I went through to feed them, clothe them, bathe them, clean their diapers. You don't know what I went through for them. They're all perfect in their right mind. Now watch this. Now you know for sure. Now here we go. We're coming to the last one. Last one got it ready. Last one like, oh, I'm the one, because everybody's, all the others are gone. I'm the only one left. Now you're right. You're like, it's me. I'm the one. Come on. Just put it on me. Put it on me. Do it. Yeah. He the one. He the one. And Sammy had to look at him. No, he ain't the one either. He ain't the one. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about the first one. Huh? First one said, I've been groomed by daddy, and it wasn't me. It surely can't be them. It surely. Look, one got convicted and turned the hat around. Uh-huh. I'm just saying. Just saying. But wait. The first one, the eldest, has the right for the blessing. But in God's kingdom, sometimes it's the ones that are outdoing what they're supposed to be doing. Huh. Well, it says that David was out in the field tending to the flocks, the sheep and the goat. Somebody says, you ain't got no other boys? That's it?
One more.
Yeah, one more?
One more.
Well, I told you to bring all your kids up. What's wrong with you? Go get him.
There he is.
Mira. So here comes David now. But watch what it says. This is what it says in the midst of that, as they go and get him. When he comes in, he's handsome. He's dark with beautiful eyes. Watch. Y'all are something else. He got the mocos out the eye and everything. Watch this. So he comes in, and here's what the prophet does. He's the one. In the midst of all his elders, his brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but you know the youngest one is the one that usually get pushed around. The one that usually gets stepped on. The one that's like, well, he's scrawny, and he's all pretty and all that, and he's out there just dealing with sheep and stuff, too. He ain't nothing. We're the warriors.
We're the ones that go out and battle. He's the one that's playing with sheep. But in the midst of that, God gives a description of how David is. How God sees you is important. Amen. Not how your brothers and sisters see you.
That's right.
Amen. Watch this. And your earthly father. Some of your earthly fathers may leave you out and may not get what you're supposed to get because your earthly father thinks somebody else should have got it. But when God calls you in, but I want you to see something, what David was doing, he was already working what he was about to get anointed for. He was about to be anointed as king of Israel. It's a young little boy, 17 years old. You're 17, okay? 17. Okay. He gets anointed. Here comes the anointing oil that leaves now. It comes out of the tabernacle and now is used on the new tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle lays on you. And you hold now the anointing oil to do what you're anointed to do. Now, all of this has transpired in the home. In the home. I'm going to be king. You're going to be king, man. The king of Israel. Huh? Look at what happens. Go back to tending sheep. Sent right back out to tending sheep, right? Now, what's going on in their minds? Right, right? Now, can you imagine? Watch this, watch this. God works in multiples. Can you imagine the guilt that could have laid upon Jesse? I can't believe I didn't even think of my youngest. That I didn't even consider the youngest. I was wondering why Mama was back there in the kitchen throwing pots and pans around getting mad because David, her baby, wasn't selected. Because, you know, the baby's the baby. And the baby, you don't touch because Mama will whoop on it because it's the baby. So they had to hold her back. The angels were in the kitchen holding her back. But now you have seen now how God will choose you in the midst of some things, bring you out of what you're doing. You don't hear me? To get into a place of intimacy, your home. And bring you in front of your brothers and your daddy to receive something very special that only God can do when he searches your heart. He had to get after the prophet and say, don't look at the outward. I look at the heart. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to see. He was anointed to be king, but did he become king? He had to go back out into the field and deal with the sheep, the goats, and if we read on about the story, the bears, the lions, the tigers. Oh my. But here's what I want to share with you. If God searched the heart and already knew that David was going to be the next king, he already had him positioned doing what he needed to do to learn what he needed to learn before he went and took ownership of the kingdom. The gift that's inside of each and every one of us has been given. Has been given. If you don't activate the gift and you don't work in that gift, it'll lie dormant in you and then you'll question whether or not you're ever going to be chosen. The fact of the matter is, God chose you before the foundations of this earth to bear his witness of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he bestowed upon you all the gifts, not just one gift, all the gifts. But what needs to happen is, he needs to call those gifts forth, and you've got to stir up the gift that's inside of you. That gift that's inside of you must be cultivated. As it's being cultivated, you're going to have a tendency to learn some things about your gift. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you guys may be seated. Thank you very much. Y'all did wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Give me a hand clap. Give me a hand clap. Come on. Come on. Hand clap. So we see a stick. As a shepherd.
The oil of a king. That represents the covering for a purpose. For a purpose. He says that he drenched them with the oil. The kingly anointing covered everything that was prepping him for where he was about to go. Okay? Well, Pastor, that's good. Those are nice articles. What's with the skateboard? Because y'all are thinking it. Okay. Edith! Can you come over here, please, Miss Edith? Just hold that. Just hold that. Just hold. No, Michael. Hey, let's see. Come on, Lexus. You get the ripstick. No. We got insurance, but we ain't making no claims today. Come on, Lisa, get out from under here. No, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and use a male. Let me use a male. No, I ain't gonna need a female. Let's use a male. How about, let's see. How about, who y'all think? Yeah, y'all pick. Who you think? Baya! All right, come here, Popo. All right, hold on. All right, Popo, you just stand right there. Don't stand on it, Popo. All right. Now, do these look in proportion? Can y'all hold them up, please, so they can see? Do they look in proportion to them, the size? Huh? Doesn't this kind of look like that would be for her to use? This kind of be kind of medium for her? And this one kind of be older and taller? Kind of be, right? Okay, here's what happened. Here's the trick of the enemy. Trick of the enemy is, you got your gift. What you going to do with it? He's going to make you think, that ain't yours. That's too big. That's not yours. Your gift is too big for you. I think you need to put that one down. And I think you need to come over here. And you need to utilize this gift. Utilize that. And then, you know what? Matter of fact, yours, I think you deserve bigger. And you need to come over here. That'll be your gift now. Now, can you hold that one up? Let's look at this. Just. Oh, looky here. Now, here's what I'm going to share with you. Watch. All gifts have been given. I'm still on the same story. I ain't left yet. I'm going to show you something. David gets anointed to be king. But he's not king yet. He's still doing what he needs to do. Right? But the trick of the enemy is to make you think that your gift is insignificant. And the gift that you have is not going to get you to your destiny. So he's going to get you to give up your gift. That looks a little difficult for you there, Popo. It's going to be a little bit difficult for you. I don't think that's going to work for you. You're going to make it work? I'm glad you said that. Because every gift comes with some adjustments. I know where I'm going with this. I know. If you would, please, sir, just kind of pull it there. Hey, carababaso. Now we got something that kind of gets adjusted for your height, maybe. But there's called what we need to understand in our walk in God, a learning curve. A learning curve. Popo, don't get on that and ride around that, Popo. But I can tell you this, that you might have a little bit of difficulty at first. And you may be able to get a hold of it. But once you get a hold of it and really get going on it, you may get a little bored with it. Because you're becoming proficient in it. That learning curve is there for you to make mistakes with what you got. So that you know that the gift that is given to you was given to you by God to use for His purpose, not your own. So there was some adjustment there. Can you lift it up, please? Can you lift it up? Yeah, hold right there in the center. Now, there's not much adjusting to that, but the adjustment comes on the rider. Because the adjustment that was made here still gave stability. A handle. Some sort of stability. The adjustment doesn't come to this one. The adjustment comes to the rider. That the rider has to adjust. Do you understand? To the gift. Oh, you, watch this. Watch this. The gift has been given, but you've got to learn and adjust the gift to you on how it works. And once you become proficient in it, now it's like you're moving to the next one, but now the gift doesn't adjust to you. You adjust to the gift. Are you seeing that? And now, as you adjust to the gift grows inside of you. To the point now, it's sometimes bigger than you. See, David got anointed early. The gift was bigger than him. Didn't mean he couldn't do it. He had to learn. Had to learn, right? Let's see here. Baya. That's it. Y'all know. Y'all mess with the business. Y'all gonna get stung. Come here, Josh. I want you to open up that blue bag that's on the table there. Open up the blue bag. I want you to pick a tool out of there that will work to work on that ripstick in the middle. Huh? To adjust it. What would work on that? I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and just lift up each tool. And let's turn it around and let's see what they think. The hammer? Hey, we'll turn it around. Turn around. Show them. No? A crowbar. Okay, no. A screw gun. Yes. Yeah, okay. Oh, what else? What else? Nails. No. A flashlight. No. A hole punch. No. What's the next one? A tape measure. No. They're not going to fix it? Huh? What is that? Oh, that's one of those plates that kind of locks, you know. Door plate. Is there anything else in there? Oh, it's empty? And actually, what you're holding up is the thing that you need to fix this. Watch this. Bring it over here. Sometimes you have to empty of yourself. You got to empty yourself so that you can learn how to develop the gift. Sometimes the gift has to be carried very carefully, so that we don't do this mistake. Jeff, come on. Jeff. I thought these things out, okay? Because at times trying to fix our gift, can you hold that, please? What are you holding? What is that?
Crowbar.
What is that used for?
To remove nails, open doors.
To pry things open?
Yeah.
That's kind of how we are when we're trying to fix things. We kind of force things to happen. We try to force things to get open, force things to do the way we want it to be done. Can you hold that, please? But don't force anything open you're not supposed to have open. Okay? Hold it. It's not a microphone. Okay. Now watch this. What's this? Yeah. Bob the Builder in the house. Look, now watch. Here's what we do to try to fix things. We try to measure ourselves with what we think it should be like. We take measures into our own hands. Now, you know you got some people like this in your life. They always want to shine light on you. Like, hey, you... And their light is dim. But they want to point and say, my light is dim, but I want... This is what's going on in your life, girl. And it's all because all this is going on. This is what's happening in your life. That ain't how God does things. So many times, trying to figure out our gift, we want to start shining the light on the people and to try to remove or expose darkness. And God said, no, that's not what it's for. Matter of fact, this is what's to help you. Because you're going to be using your gift in times where it's dark. And you may not see the light. But all you got to do is shine the light to know the light is always shining in you. Can you hold that one there? Okay. Like most of us, if you got a hammer in your hand, you can fix anything.
You can force it.
Watch this. You know, air conditioner don't work in your car, just get the hammer and just... You just tap the condenser unit a little bit and it'll work again, right? Huh? Because the hammer fixes everything. Doesn't it, Jeff? Doesn't it fix everything? And if you ain't got a hammer, you do it the old-fashioned way. You use your shoe. I've seen some men do it. Baby, just give me that shoe. Ain't got no hammer? It's in the truck. Now watch this. What we do with our gift sometimes gets us so frustrated that we want to beat some things. We want to beat our theology into other people.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Can you hold that one, man? Dad, I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying hold it. Okay, okay, watch this. Watch this. This is good. And when all else fails, sometimes we have to reach for something that's going to get us solid and connected to our gift, that we have to use a fastener, a screw, to get it tight with us. So we don't lose our grip on our gift. And we choose this. But in reality, this thing ain't going to do nothing on this. Because watch this. If I was to use this screw on this skateboard, would it be the right thing?
No.
Oh, it's a little too long. It's the wrong instrument, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the wrong tool to kind of bring things together. But what happens is we begin to use things. We begin to use things that we think that are going to work on other people's lives and our lives for our destiny, and it don't fit.
That's right.
Bus drivers, man. Woo! We all got to get across today, Lord Jesus. Now this is what drives the nail in deeper. Okay? This is what drives the nail in deeper. Haven't you had someone come into your life that they think they got it? They got you pegged. They know exactly what's going on here, and they want to drive it home. And they won't give any leeway to anything for the Spirit of God to move, but they just want to drive it home. I got this, and I know for a fact that God said, no, it didn't. That was your spirit talking about you. And you're trying to put it on somebody else, and you're trying to drive it in through them. Have you ever tried to make something be forced in? It kind of splits the fibers all the way around, destroying the gift. That's not good. That's not good. Hold that one, too. Okay.
I'm not going there.
I'll hold that.
I don't know where the screw is.
Let me do my sermon. Look. For those on the podcast, that's a screw gun. Watch this. Watch. With variable speeds. Variable speeds is how you determine what you think is going to work. Can you hold that up again, please? All right. Many of us tend to think if we put this on the highest setting to have the most torque, it's going to do the best job for us. In reality, what it does, it strips the head. Are y'all with me on this, sir? What happens is we start using our gift and we think we got to have it on the high. I'm praying. I'm ready. I'm gonna get somebody today. And what happens is you're stripping the head. I gotta pray for somebody. I gotta lay hands on somebody. Oh, you know what? I gotta go pray with them. I gotta go here. And what happens? The enemy is using that so you can strip the head. What is the head for? Remember the first thing that happened with David? His head got anointed with oil. So it messes with your head. When in reality, all you gotta do is lower the setting, take your time, get in position, and hold the position straight, and that you'll be able to get the fastening done. So it becomes one. Because every time you use a screw, you're going to use it so it can bring one area closer to the other. And what it does, it fastens it together. And that's what the gift of God is to bring the fastening together of the people of God. But the enemy's trying to separate us with the crowbar. Trying to pry things off of us. Okay. You can hold on, sir. But with God, he has a template in order. There's a template that's in order that God ordered for us, that he ordered as we came out of Egypt and into the wilderness. He ordered a template. And that template is, you're going to use the screw to fasten it to the wood, which the wood always represents humanity. And when you fasten it to the wood and it's properly inserted, nothing can be pried out of you lest you allow it to be taken away. But it first started with the emptying of yourself, so that you could be used to carry the gift. The more of you that's in the bag, the more of you that gets in the way. The less of you that's in the bag, the more of God is in use. Are you hearing me? It's just simple. And the Holy Ghost in here, am I just hot? Hold on. I don't hold myself. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. Now. On any of these here, was there a description on how beautiful and wonderful and beautiful the eyes are and their gifts?
No.
Not one. But we had to learn some things about how we utilize our gift and how we try to work our gift, do we not? And what God is trying to show us in that scripture is I have prescribed a template on how we are to do things. And we're going to find it all right there in Samuel, the book of Samuel. And I'll show you. You guys can just lay down on the floor what you have, and you can have a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Go with me back to 1 Samuel 16, please. I'm going to try to get through this as I can. And watch. A lot of different illustrations here. Did you get it? Do you understand it? Okay. What I'm trying to show you is David was the instrument for God. He was the gift for Israel. He was the instrument. But watch what happens first. If you read here in 1 Samuel 16 and 4, it says, "So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived to Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. 'What's wrong?' they asked. 'Do you come in peace?' 'Yes,' Samuel replied, 'I've come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.'" In verse 5, it talks about the sacrifice. Do you see that? Before the anointing could be done to David, that sacrifice had to be made. Before you step into your role, a sacrifice has to be made. That sacrifice don't mean it's going to be easy. Some blood's going to be shed. Something's going to be put on the altar. And matter of fact, every sacrifice is in view of everybody. Could they not say, "Come with me and join in on the sacrifice"? Your life sometimes is like that sacrifice that is put on that altar for many to see what you've been going through. And some people think that, "Oh, that's it. They're down and out. I got them now. That's it. I told you they were in sin. I told you they had this. I told you." And you have so many of the people that say, I told you. Sacrifice has to be done. Watch. Hoo-wee. So then we begin to read on and we see that on verse 8, it talks about he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goats. And David was already doing what he was born to do, practicing. As he's watching the sheep and the goats, he has something that God has given him, before he even comes in and gets anointed. He's given a sling. A sling. That sling was to be utilized to take out giants later. You know the sling, right? Huh? You know the sling, the rock and all that? You know that big dude, Goliath? The big guy. You get anointed for an appointment. You get anointed for an appointment. But the appointment does not come before the anointment. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all want coffee again and donuts or what? You can't have the appointment before the anointing. If you try to make it happen, it won't happen. But if you stay faithful to do what you're supposed to do, God will train you out in the field. He'll train you. And just he'll train you. Who will train you? God trains you. Go down to verse 14, please. Watch this. We're now in verse 14. You there? Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said unto him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Really? Thank you. Let us find a good, watch this. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music and you will soon be well again. So Saul, all right, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. One of the servants said to Saul, hey, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Now, anywhere in the beginning of those verses, do you see where it said anything about a harp? But did you also notice that here, as he's talking to Saul, that he never mentioned David's name? You see that? But they knew the father. You're missing it. Your next promotion that is coming your way, they may not know your name, but they know your father. And your father is the one that is putting it in them to trouble them to call upon you. Oh, watch this. Saul was king. Saul was the king. And the Lord sent him a spirit to trouble him. That's your father. They said, I've got someone who's going to take your place. And matter of fact, y'all don't even know he played the harp, but I'm going to let your men know that he plays the harp. They don't even know his name, but they know the daddy. Amen. Put that down. I know the daddy, and he's got a son, David. Love by your love. Mira. Look, watch this. They don't know David's name. They know the father. He has a son that plays the harp. Watch it, y'all stay put. I don't have a harp, but get the guitar. But I want to share something with you. In the scripture, it says they call a liar, right? He's a liar. But many theologians said it's a harp. It wasn't the big one that you hear, real nice, the angels are singing. No. It's the small one that he would carry with him while he's out on the field. Now watch this. Now remember, he came before his brothers. And they probably knew. Oh, that boy, he goes. He's maybe a little, you know. That's why he don't go out in the field with us to war. He's out in the field with the harp. Watch this. Come, follow me. So when the bear and the lion come, he's going to play the harp. And then the bear took off running because he heard the harp. No. It's a setup, guys. It's a setup. What took place in your home with God is to be revealed later in the kingdom. But the process from the house to the kingdom is when God works on you. And he works on the other one who's going to take over. I'm going to just read. Stay right there, Jesse and David. Stay right there. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. All right, watch this. One of the sons said, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talent. He said, what? Talented. Not just a harp player, but a talented. When I saw this brother, he could play the harp on him, but he played it. He played it so much, I felt the angels show up when he starts playing. And I don't even know this brother's name, but he played good. Watch this, watch this, watch this. This is beautiful right here. Watch. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. Here go again. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. Have you ever wondered what's going on in the Bible where God kind of puts some things in the middle of something? Kind of the same thing that was said when Samuel was looking for him. Oh, y'all gonna miss this one. I know y'all gonna miss this one because y'all ain't following me. Y'all ain't following me. Nowhere in the beginning did it say he was a warrior. Nowhere in the beginning did it say he was a harpist. But they did say he was dark, handsome, and beautiful eyes. Give ojitos, give ojitos. Give ojitos. Now watch. Now watch. Now, all of a sudden now, we fast forward just a few years. Not to the time of taking over, but the one that he is going to take over for is being tormented. You hear me? Some of y'all have been going through a process. And that process makes you feel like you have been overlooked, make you feel like you've been left out, or you're not going to get what's rightfully yours. But it's a setup from the get up to make you understand I'm bringing you out of the house and into a kingdom to rule over my people. Amen. Ain't nobody want to shout in here. Amen. Go to another church and preach this one. We went from pulling to like, what's happening? So we go back to the looks again, right? When you guys apply for a job, not the old-fashioned way where you go in and, can I have an application, please? Now fill it out, bring it out tomorrow. And you fold it up and you put it in your back pocket. You know how we used to do? Yeah. Nowadays, you got to put a resume and put it online, right? And on that resume, you got to list all your qualities. That's the biblical resume that was being said right there of David. Matter of fact, how did these people know that David played a harp? How'd they know? There was a jazz place around the corner that David would go. No? There was a choir that David was a part. He was on the praise and worship team at the house of manna. No? How would they know? But by the Spirit of God, we'll always let those that know what's inside of you to bring you to the front. Only because they knew, Daddy, that God put in them what was inside of him. But do you notice in the reading of the scripture here, watch what it says, watch it. He come up. He's also a fine-looking young man. The Lord is with him. What is the last thing that is said? The last thing, not the first thing. Yeah. The Lord is with him is the last thing that is said to Saul. This is all fine and dandy. But that's not the first thing that was said about him. That he was with the Lord. First thing they said, he was a man of war. Right? Oh, wait a minute. No. The first thing they said is, he was a great harpist. And then they go and they list his qualities, right? What's the last quality that is listed? That he's a man of God. But he's pretty too, right? He's a man of God, right? Man of God. I want to just kind of throw this out there, and if you catch it, then you'll understand. Showing whether or not you're a Christian by what you say, how you act, and what you're doing doesn't always necessarily get you to where you need to go. They have to see it in you to know that you are, so that God can elevate you to a new place. Can we unplug, or will it cause the pop? Okay. Now we'll just leave it. So now David is elevated to play the harp for Saul, right? So David's all excited. I'm gonna go play the harp. I'm gonna play the harp. I'm gonna play the harp for Saul. I'm gonna play the harp. And he goes, he's all excited, and he's playing for Saul. And the next thing you know, Saul can't stand him. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Huh? They sent for you. You didn't ask for it.
That's right.
Amen. I didn't call. I didn't email you or text you. You called me.
That's right. Amen.
And then I come and bring my harp to play for you in your house. Hear me? In your house, where the anointing come from, house, tabernacle, David's house, now it's brought into the kingdom. Are you following?
Come on. Ooh, watch
it, say. How was that dance? Now, there's always progression in the anointing. Always progression. And sometimes during your progression, there's somebody there that's not supposed to be there. That the Bible said during the process of making the anointing oil, that if those that are outside touch it, they would be removed. So now you hear the story about how David touched not my anointed. David understood that he was once anointed by God to be king, so I'm not going to touch that anointed. But David was anointed to be the next king. Saul should have never went after him, should have never pursued him, should have never did the things that he did. Watch this. This whole time, David's still a little kid, still got the pimples all over him, but he looked fine. He's all happy in this day. Hey, you know, right? Still a young boy learning something. He begins to use the gift that's inside of him that make room for him in the end. Your gift will make room for you, but it's the heart inside of you that will keep you there. Oh. Mm. Saul likes him so much, he asked Daddy, well, can I have David in my courts to serve me day and night? So watch this. Jesse's very excited. Going back to remember the day in your home when that took place. I don't understand why he picked the youngest one. And boy, don't even know how to fight. He's always out there. He's always playing with that the instrument. He's always playing out there. He stinks every time he comes in. He smells like the sheep all the time. He's always stepping in poop. I tell him to take his shoes off outside. But he's coming inside. He's messing up the carpet. Everything is. And this boy just don't even know what he's doing. And the king asked for him. Oh, there's something to being around poop, sheep, and worship. Okay, yeah. Well, let me send you, and you go and do as you're told. Well, watch this. David would serve Saul and always go back and serve the Father. Can we get some people in here to understand that your gift is to serve and come back to the Father and serve? You understand that? I don't care how anointed, I don't care how much oil is poured on you. You're poured the oil, the anointing oil that separates you, that calls you to be holy and separated from to go do service unto others, even though God has rejected them. But we can't get the church today to embrace people that are not of their church or not a Christian. You're anointed to love. You're anointed to have compassion. You're anointed to embrace, and you're anointed to play music. Good cue. What music is that? The music of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that gospel comes forth out of you, it's a new song to someone that hasn't heard it. Or maybe someone's forgotten it. And it comes back. Watch. Now David, his resume's been sent. Daddy has received the good news that, you know, we're going to use my boy. Now he's happy for the young one now. He's out the house, you know. Go. I don't have to feed you no more. But you got to take care of my sheep. Now I'm going to fast forward a bit to the story where Jesse sends him. You can put that down now, sir. But watch what he puts down. Watch. Puts the harp down. And Jesse sends him to go check on his brothers, the warriors, you know, big bad warriors. You know, I'm a fighter. What does he send David with? He had the slingshot already. He made it himself while he was out there. Matter of fact, don't even get started on how he made the slingshot. The slingshot is made with leather. Leather comes from skin. Something had to die, so he had to kill something to make it so he can kill some more things that would once come up in his life later, but he didn't know that while he was killing that thing, he was using it to make an instrument that would be used later to give him victory over the kingdom that all would know about him. You understand? See, something had to die back then. Something had to be emptied. Something's life had to be empty. And David now took something and made a sling out of it. He cut off some flesh. You don't hear me? He cut some flesh off. And he let it dry. See, some of us cut flesh, but we don't let it dry. And how you make leather is you let it dry and then you soak it in water, which is the Holy Ghost. And then after you soak it in the Holy Ghost for a little bit, it becomes pliable and you stretch it some more. And then you let it dry again and you soak it some more. Something like how we do with our anointing. Sometimes we feel like we're dry. We got nothing going on in our life. But what happens is God is taking you out so you can dry up a little bit. So have you dependent on the Holy Ghost. Then he's going to put you right back into that water, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to submerge you, not just leave you laying on top. He's going to submerge you. That's the kind you get the whole fact. You got to get baptized and you got to be submerged in your baptism, because when you get submerged in the baptism, now the Holy Spirit now surrounds you, hence the covering. Oh, you won't hear me. Pull that slingshot out now. Now it's pliable. Now he can work the stones right into that little pouch. Yo. The whole time while David's out there, he's probably thinking to himself, I was anointed to be king, and I'm out here with these sheep. They stink, and these goats are getting on my last nerve. They're getting on my last nerve because these goats keep on hurting all these other sheep. I'm tired of these goats. I'm tired of these goats. Watch what God does. Now I want you to go deal with the goat. Go to Saul. Go deal with the goat. But he didn't deal with the goat with the slingshot. He dealt with the goat with the harp. Every time y'all think of a harp, what does that mean to you? Usually you see that in weddings. Come on now. Are you following me? And does not Jesus always refer to us as the bride? And he's the bridegroom. He's getting us ready. He's preparing us for the courts. Wow. Can you grab that basket right there? And then hand it. No, the basket. Now watch this. Now the brothers are out there on battle with the Philistines. On the battle lines. Come on, stand over here. You're going to be Goliath for me. Be Goliath for me. Be Goliath. Stand right here, Goliath. And you're going to start taunting them. Say, who is out there that can beat me?
Who's out there that can beat me?
Mira, that's how you do it. So Jesse's seven other sons on the battlefield. Jesse sends David. What does he send David with? A basket of bread and cheese. What cheese? Goat cheese, baby. He killed all the goats out. Killed all the goats. I got the cheese now. I got sick and tired of those goats. I dealt with those goats. I ain't got to worry about those goats. I got cheese now. Watch this. David didn't ask to go. Did you ask to go?
No.
Okay. So he said, Come on, brother, over here. Come stand over here by the table. Right there. No, yeah, but face Goliath. Goliath is challenging y'all. That's a good one, Oscar. That's a good one. Watch this. Do you see that? They're scared of Goliath. Watch this. Here comes David with a basket of bread and cheese. Taking it to the brothers. Watch. And the brother, watch it. Okay, give him the cheese. Okay. Take the basket. Now watch. I want you to show you. You can read it in the scripture, but I want to paraphrase. I don't want to go too long. Watch. Now the brother says unto David, what are you doing here? You should be with the sheep. Are you following me? It's kind of like when you come and show up to some place that God has sent for you to go, that daddy has sent you. You get people a little bit mad at you because they don't think you deserve to be there. Shout out again, Goliath.
He wants to challenge me.
Now David is like, who is that man?
Who is that man?
Now the brothers that were real big and bad, you know, they're big and bad. They're cowarding away from him. Now they're scared. Now they come over here to David. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And he said, well, who is that man?
Well, who is that man?
Oh, that is Goliath.
Who?
Now, wait a minute now. Now Goliath is saying, here's the resume. Watch the resume. Who is this little boy? Good looking. Beautiful eyes. We can never get through a sermon like this. Come on, come on. But Goliath, ain't nobody can take me. You send me your best, and if they can beat me. Have you ever been challenged like that? Yeah, you know how you get challenged. People challenge you. The devil challenges you. All the dang time. Watch this. Watch. Here we come now. What army is he serving in? They're serving in Saul's army. Here comes Saul. Who are you? You're David. You want to fight Goliath?
I want to fight Goliath.
Well, you're just a little running little boy. Watch what Saul does. Saul takes off his armor and gives the armor to David. And it's too big. Why? He's still little. But watch this. I'm going to show you. Come on over here, David, with your slingshot. Now, with your slingshot, is the slingshot designed to be up close?
No.
Unless you understand your gift, you're never going to be able to go in the right battle you're supposed to go into. It may be a battle that you have to use a sword, so you have to get up close. It may be a battle that you have to use an arrow so you can stand at a distance. But a sling, hear me now, sometimes a sling, you got to give yourself some distance and some room. So when he starts swinging that sling, don't dance, I mean like swing. All right, now watch. Watch what happens. Watch. As he's swinging the sling, not even the brothers that were the naysayers could be around because they would get hit with the sling. So when you start utilizing your gift, your naysayers kind of have to take a back step. And as you keep swinging it, what happens? You begin to gain momentum. And then when they ask you, well, who are you? He says, I am David. I am Jesse's son that tended to the sheep and to the goats. And when a bear would come in, I would kill the bear. And if a lion came in, I would kill the lion. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunt the armies of God? What do I get if I take him out? Wait a minute now. How is this scrawny little good-looking harpist going to come up and slay this giant? It is never about what you're able to do by yourself, but it's what God is able to do through you that you can overcome the giant. Did you hear me? Some of y'all been facing some giants in your life, but you've been fighting up close to the giant. And the giant's been taking you out because you've gotten too close. Know the distance. Know your distance. Everybody want to bow up, man, like you're going to go fight. He would tear you limb from limb because he's the giant. Watch this. Oh, you want to do what you want. You know why? He had someone hand him his sword and his shield. Not for him.
Goliath was blind. You got to read. You do an exegesis on that?
Because when you get too big, some other things begin to falter a little bit. And your view, your vision is skewed. I didn't forget about the tent. Remember the tent? Sometimes you're in the house, you're in the tent, and your vision skewed. And what was happening, that Goliath was in his own house. And his vision was skewed because he thought that he was the one that was going to take everybody out. In reality, he couldn't see David. He just knew he was little. And then he said, what you coming over here with a sling and a rock? What you going to do? And David knew better to get close, because if he was to get close, the reach would take him out. So you got to know your distance. Be at that distance so that you can get up momentum. When you get up momentum, you're getting ready to release the rock. But everything started not here. It started way back here when he was out in the field with the sheep and the goats. And he got called in last. Here was his new beginning, now coming into his destiny. And the oil that was poured is now, here we go, we're getting ready now. But before you ever do anything, you better make sure it's God. Amen. And when you know it's God, he said, what do I get?
What do I get?
If I take this fool out. Saul says, you'll never have to pay taxes again. Saul, I'm 17 years old.
I don't pay taxes.
I work in the field with my dad, and he don't pay me. So what is that going to do for me? There ain't no incentive. So Saul looks at him and says, well, you can have my daughter. Now, what if she was ugly? You don't offer up an ugly daughter for a prize. I'm sorry to say, and don't get mad at me. Pastor, that was a little shallow. I'll read it for yourself. How are you going to offer up a daughter that ain't nobody want? So David looked at her and said, well, she's sure fine.
She sure is fine.
Down, boy. Now watch. So now there's an incentive. I don't want to hear this. The wife that was given to David, it's part of a lineage. And that lineage goes back down the line that will bring about our Savior. Y'all want to hear this? And as he's at a distance, swinging that thing, now he's got purpose. And with that purpose, all he has to do is just knock him out. But he don't even just do that. He says, not only am I going to take you out, I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to show it that all the world will know that the armies of God have gained victory. Here's the trick of the enemy. You may get your victory, but if you don't tell about it, how is he going to get glory? So you got to take the head off of the giant. I'm sorry, brother. Head's coming off. How did he kill the giant? Yeah, his own sword. The rock, where would it hit him at? Bam, between the eyes. Scripture says that he fell forward. He fell with the sword. Hear this. Your enemy's going to come down because of the rock. And he's going to come down with his ultimate demise, his own device. And you will take him out with his device. How many of you have been suffering through all kinds of ailments in your body? That's what you're going to take the enemy out with. He may be taunting the armies of God, but the ones that Saul thought that God had chosen weren't the one. The one that Daddy overlooked was the one. But Daddy, God never overlooks you. Because now there's an advocate for you, which is Jesus Christ. And he's given you everything to overcome your giants. He says that in his words, fear not, beloved, for I have overcome the world. And through David, he began a dynasty that created for us a template. A template on how we're to be. So that this way, that everything that we do, we sacrifice. We empty of ourselves. We learn our gift. We let the anointing make room for us. But it's always been about the heart. And it doesn't matter what people think that you are, whether you're handsome, beautiful, ugly, scarred up, it don't matter. God searches the heart. The heart of David took out the head of the giant. Do you see that? Thank you, Goliath. You can have your head back. Good job. Good job. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right, we went a little bit over. I didn't want to keep you too long. I wanted you to see something, and I was going to make a series out of this, but I kind of jumped through the whole story real quick for you. But what I want you to understand is that it doesn't matter what position that you're in, as long as you've emptied of yourself, self. The trick of the enemy is to use you to bind yourself. The gift's still there. Many people have used the gift that God has given them and used it for the dark side. And I'm not talking about Star Wars and all that. Come to the side, the dark side. No, I'm talking about they use it for their own personal gain to take people away from the light, which is the darkness. So you have all these fortune tellers. You got mediums now. You got them on TV. You got all these people going, and they're using the what we call the discerning spirit of God in prophecy, and they use it through a familiar spirit, which is a demon, to speak about something like, oh, my God, that's God. No, it's not God. It's a demon spirit. It's a familiar spirit, and they've tapped into that realm, and now people are looking at them as opposed to going to the church and looking for guidance through the Word. Yeah. Well, I'm here to prophesy to you something. That if this is the hand of the year of God, the hand of God is to uphold you, provide for you, and protect you. But the hand of God is also a hand of judgment on those that are touching the anointed of God. So if you've got some giants that have been coming at you and you feel like you're the one that's out in the field, maybe he's getting ready to bring you into the courts of the king. And when you come into the courts of the king, you're about to be displayed before many. And he's about to redeem you because we serve a redeemer to this very day. You may have gone through some things, gone through some hardships, and gone through so much. Can we get these guys, please? Gone through so much, son, I don't know you, son. I speak this with much respect and hear my heart on this. The trust factor in your life has been challenged a lot. A lot. You're a good man. But you've been calloused, meaning there's been some hardships over your heart because you're afraid of getting hurt again. God said, if you would just give me that portion of your life, I will turn everything around for you. You're a fighter because you know you got to fight for what you want. God says, if you let me fight your battles for you, I'm going to turn them around for you. I'll turn them around for you. And I'm going to say it this way. You'll never be a father like the father that was yours. You'll be a father beyond that. And I say this with respect. My spiritual sons in this house will not be in my standards. They will be above my standards. They will supersede me and go beyond wherever I've been. And that's the way it's designed to be. David went beyond Jesse, his father, and brought about the king. And I'm here to tell you that your kingdom, your life, is changing right now. Amen. Be encouraged, man. And I don't know your story, but everyone has one, right? Be encouraged because something's about to happen for you, that you need for you, and it's personal. There is forgiveness that needs to take place, and it's coming to you. Once you forgive, there's a release that is given to you, a release. Let it all go, whatever it is, man. These ain't going to get you there, but this will. Yeah. Amen. I bless you, man. I bless you. I want to encourage you to understand a lot of the things that God has been giving me in this fast was things concerning the body of Christ. And I didn't ask for it. I asked for me specifically. What do I need to change? Remember I told y'all? Change me, God. Change me. I don't want to see people change. I want you change me. Show me what I got to do to change so that I can see things differently.
And as he began to do that, my eyes, my scales, began to fall off. And he showed me things about me. And when he shows me things about me, then he starts revealing about the body. I was like, wow, God, that's deep, and it's yet so simple. He says, I never made the scriptures to be so deep that they're not understandable. I made it very simple, but man has gotten in and put their hand into it and made my anointing oil no longer pure. What I order for eternity. And whatever you go through in that process, in the end, is better than the beginning. You just got to traverse through it. Sometimes you got to fight through it. Sometimes you got to stand at a distance and just sling what God gave you. But before you can sling it, you have to gain momentum. And when you gain that momentum, He'll give you that timing to release. And I know that God is saying to the body right now, the body of Christ, I've only been preparing you. And as I prepare you, it's because something is coming your way. But we have to listen to the Spirit of God as He's speaking so that we can apply it. Now, I love to cut up and have fun. I do. But it does me no good to study and think of these things and you leave here the same way you walked in. It does me no good. It does you no good. You just spent, for some of y'all, 2.5 hours, others, 10 minutes, but I'm just saying. God is requiring of you some things. That's all. And He wants us to have fun. He does. But wouldn't you like to have fun for long periods of time as opposed to just a short period? Because every time that I go by Fiesta, Texas, I see people standing in lines for a ride that only lasts about 5 minutes, if that. Maybe just 2 minutes. But they'll stand in line in the hot of day, and people standing in front of them, you know, they've been out in the sun all day too, and that degree ain't working. But we'll stand there because there's anticipation for the ride. I don't know about you, but I know the ride that I'm on with God, it's just like being on the roller coaster right now. I have my ups, I have my downs, I have my loop-de-loops, I have my straight power going forward, and sometimes He even takes me back a little bit. But if we can use that same type of excitement when we minister to people and we reach out to people, not about your gift, about the one that gave you the gift, you'll get people into the kingdom of God. Maybe not this church, but maybe a lot of churches across this world. We've got to reach out to people with the love, the heart. And when we do that, people will come to Christ. And that's what it's about. Each and every one of you have been anointed for an appointment. You just don't know when that appointment is. David never knew. And that appointment came because he first had to take a giant out. And then they started looking at him. He's not just a harp player no more. He was later known as David's mighty men. He was a warrior all along. That's what's inside of you. Y'all are warriors. Some have suffered loss, but you're still a warrior. And what you desire to be right next to you right now, and if you could get some time back, you would want that time right now for that one last thing, just to say, I love you. And I'm sorry. Those are the things that God is trying to get you to understand. Time is precious. Your days on this earth are numbered. And in between your now and the day of your number, there's a lot of days in between to make things right for people by serving. Jesus didn't come to rule, He came to serve. After serving, all of heaven and earth was given to Him. Reverse that, so I encourage you, stir your gifts, get under that anointing. When that oil begins to flow, it begins to cover you, permeate you, and drench you in His glory. And in that glory, signs and wonders will be displayed through you, through you. Not people standing up here, through you. We always look at people who are standing on the pulpit and say, oh, they got the power. No, you got the power. You got it. We always look, well, we got to go to the church and we got to have people pray. You pray. You pray. Stir that gift up. Amen. If you would please stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a prayer over your life. Scripture talks about how when Jacob was blessing his children, he took one of his children and he anointed the feet, not the head. He anointed his feet with oil, depicting that your walk will be ordered of God. And right now I just pray a prayer that your feet are dipped in the oil, the anointing oil, to guard your steps in God and the walk in your destiny. And I pray right now that the oil of God be over your life, the oil of gladness that will drench you from the crown of your head all the way down to the soles of your feet. That you walk in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And that God keep you, protect you, and take you into that place of destiny in your life so that you can enjoy the fruit of your land, which is your promise. The enemy may be lying to you that it's not going to happen. But if he's lying to you, that's proof that it is going to happen. He's trying to get you to give it up. Don't quit. The more you quit, because we quit in our minds lots of times, but the more you quit in your spirit, doubt sets in. Doubt causes cancer to your destiny. And it begins to breed into the cells of your life. Because out of your mouth will come the cancerous words that will kill your destiny. So I pray right now under the auspice of the Holy Spirit that your heart is inclined to God, your spirit is renewed, and your soul is in His hands. That your mind, your will, and your emotions are forever in the grasp of Jesus Christ. That He holds your emotions to the Word of God. That your will is surrendered to His will. And that your mind is renewed to the mind of Christ. Father, I just thank you for each and every individual in this house, Lord. I thank you that you bless them and they're coming and they're going. That they leave here today changed, challenged, and exhorted to do what you called them to do. That they stir up that gift that's inside of them, God. And whatever the enemy is meant to do, Lord, we're going to use that gift to take the head off of that enemy. Father, I just thank you that you will show yourself strong in the midst of this world. That even when the atheists want to come in and take over, Lord, you reveal your truth, because truth cannot be turned into a lie. So, Father, I just thank you right now, and I bless them, and they're coming and they're going. And I thank you that their today, God, will be a day of increase in their life. That it be an increase of joy, an increase of happiness, and an increase in their health, their wealth, and family, God. Thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. One real quick.